random topics loosely followed. Welcome to the Perpetually Untitled Podcast.
Hello.
Hello, Carla.
Hi, Matt.
How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah, you said, yeah.
It's been a day. Like, work was a thing. Rob started his first day of work, which means, you know, kiddo, who is very responsible, is doing like the 80s kid thing where she lets herself in with her own key that she has. And then she calls me as soon as she gets home from the bus. Realistically, once Rob is in the groove of his new employer, he will be working from home more frequently, and I will probably request a work from home day to match his in office day.
So one of you will be.
That's the plan. Or maybe like one day a week she'll get home before either of us, and then she calls me. So it's fine. It's one of like,
I mean, I feel like she's old enough to be.
I agree. Otherwise, we wouldn't be doing it, right? So it's this constant negotiation of how much independence is too much. Like, Rob thought that kiddo would be old enough for her and her best friend to go trick-or-treating with no adult this year. And I put the kibosh on that one. They're 9. She's very responsible. He is just a skosh younger, and the two of them together do not focus. And it's going to be dark and rainy on Halloween this year. So I was like, no. Like, we don't have to go up to the door with them, but there needs to be adult, like, in the vicinity.
Yeah.
So if Rob doesn't want to do that, then I will take an umbrella and I will do that. That's fine. Yeah. I am supposed to ask you, though, before we pick a topic or listen to voicemails or anything. So my mom listened to our most recent episode, which was the episode on pottery. And she asked me the question, do I consider a mosaic pottery?
A mosaic? Okay.
And I was like, well, I mean, I don't know. I think I lean towards no.
Well, and this,
but
I'm
not sure.
I mean, I was kind of stretching and saying like an adobe style house is pottery, right? So like,
right.
And I think so, but we both agree that it's not, but there's just, I feel like, some similarity in the materials and the construction method. Although you don't put like a house.
I kind of feel like this is getting into is a Pop-Tart ravioli territory. Yeah. So,
or is a hot dog a sandwich?
Is a hot dog a sandwich? That's a classic. Yes.
I do not think a mosaic is pottery.
I agree, but I'm having a hard time articulating why I feel that way. So,
yeah, to me, pottery is pretty specifically like you shape something with your hands or on a wheel or with like tools, and then you plop it in or the oven or the kiln or whatever, or let it dry, and then you have a new physical object in existence. Mosaic is more abstract, I guess. I don't know.
Or mosaic is assembling things to make a picture.
Yes.
Like it's.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I think, yeah, definitively mosaic is not pottery. I don't know. I don't know if Carla's mom is going to be happy or sad with that response, or
I
just
think
neutral.
She was just curious. I think she's just curious. Yeah.
Okay. All right. 1 second.
Okay.
Forgot I had the space heater on and it generates a little background noise. So,
oh,
we don't have to start over you anything
have,
like that.
You have that plugged straight into the wall, right, Matthew?
I do. Yes.
Yes. Not into a power strip.
You know what? This is a good time for my seasonal safety warning. Never plug a space heater or other high current things into a power strip. End of message. And check your batteries.
And a PSA.
And a PSA. And check your batteries in your smoke detector.
And if you're going to plug in an extension cord, even if you only need it for a short bit, uncoil the whole extension cord. Don't plug it in while it's still coiled up.
Okay.
That came up on the internet today, and everyone's like, oh, we thought this was common knowledge, and apparently it wasn't. So it gets really hot if you have the extension cord coiled up and then you run power through it. So,
Okay, we're already off on way too many tangents here.
So many tangents.
We do have a voicemail.
Ooh.
Would you like to hear it?
I would love to hear it.
Okay, here we go.
Matt and Carla, welcome back.
Thank you.
I have indeed been busy with all sorts of sports. We had postseason baseball. We had Buckeye football. We had Blue Jackets hockey, which is like my second favorite now. I'm back to the hockey. But it's a Friday night. I just put the lead sled wagon into storage until end of March. And I have no kiddos screaming around here going, nah, 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 nah. So it's a great time to make a call. Now, I know about as much about pottery as I do about, I don't know, nuclear medicine. But what I do know about is Victor Schreckengoff. And what was cool is that I got to be on a crew that interviewed Mr. Schreckengoff. I want to say it's probably like 2003 or 4 at the Kent Museum of Art. They had an exhibit for him in a local PBS station that way. Did an interview segment with him. So I got to be on the crew with it. I sit there and I got to edit the segment and the piece there and learn a lot about him there. So if you don't know, he did a lot more than just pottery too. It's kind of, you know, kind of industrial art and murals and stuff, but he also designed bicycles, which is huge, like looking, you know, retro bicycles, I guess now. Also working with an engineer, he helped design the cab over engine truck. See, I know a little about a lot of things. But anywho, it's great to have you two back. In the remote sounds good. Doesn't sound like any delay. Of course, I don't know how it was edited. But either way, if it was, it sounds fantastic. So welcome back. And hopefully there's more topics I want to comment on. Because that first episode, I'm stepping back. All right. Thanks a lot, folks.
thanks for calling in from the North, our other podcast, perpetually entitled correspondent. Did you know about the bike thing?
I actually did know about the bike thing.
Oh, I did not.
Just a really prolific, creative person.
I think we're ready to pick a topic.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Boop, boop, beep, boop, 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 beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, boop. Sleep.
Oh, sleep. Have we done sleep?
I don't think we've done sleep. I don't remember doing sleep.
I love sleep.
I mean, I feel like that's a pretty universal opinion.
I have plenty of sleep to talk about. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you've had sleep studies.
Plural. Yeah.
Plural. Yeah.
So it started with like, hey, doctor, you know, general practitioner, I'm a middle-aged person. I am a person with some extra fluff on me. And also, I think I'm catching myself like snorting, waking up, or like snoring, waking myself up. My father had sleep apnea. My brother has sleep. Like, hey, should we investigate this? Because I am tired all the time. And so, yes, let's order a sleep study. And I did the take-home sleep study, which is profoundly awkward. They mail you a kit and you are threatened with all sorts of penalties. Like if you don't send it back immediately, you'll be charged $1,000 or something. It was definitely four digits. It was large.
I think we talked a bit about this. Somehow the topic of medical devices came up in a previous podcast. And you mentioned that.
So I did that one, which involves lots of like strapping things onto your torso. And the results were not 100% conclusive. Like there's definitely something going on. We want to study you more. Come into an in-lab sleep study. So I did that the end of the summer and discovered that I am mildly allergic to one of the two adhesives that they have for the sensors. I ended up with a big rectangle on my neck for about 2 weeks from the adhesive. And they have this fascinating, it's like a thick Vaseline, but it's conductive. It's a conductive goop that they put in your hair so they can put sensors in your hair. You can see me talking with my hands. No one else can see me talking with my hands. But yeah, they put this stuff like all in your hair and wire up your legs and your arms. And you're in a hotel room where there's a camera hanging from the ceiling very prominently. And there's someone in another room watching all of the sleepers. If this isn't the foundations for a horror movie, I don't know what is, right? Like, you're working third shift, just watching people sleep in this hotel. And then there's a loudspeaker that will come into your hotel room where the person in the bullpen will say, you know, hey, Carla, do this. Hey, Carla. OK, blink this many times. So I did the sleep study.
How are you supposed to sleep when they're shouting at you? Or is it like just...
Well, they don't yell the whole time. You have to like calibrate it. So you have to lay there with your arms rigid down at your sides on your back. And then they want you to like make a fist and then flex your toes and turn your head a certain number of times. And that helps them calibrate the various sensors. And then they just record you sleep. And you're wearing a CPAP to do this in the hotel. So they're constantly fiddling with the various settings of that device as well. And the results from that one were also inconclusive somehow. Like, they can tell what stage of sleep you're in, which is kind of cool. So they can see if you're in light sleep or deep sleep or REM sleep. And so apparently my mixture of sleep pattern and however many I'm not going to pronounce it right. It's not an apnea where you completely stop breathing. It's a hypopnea where you're restricted in your breathing. And then also I slept on my stomach the whole night, which is apparently bad. I mean, like they wanted readings of me on my back. And I'm like, MFers, I was there. Just roll me over. Because now I need to go back for another sleep study, apparently. I did message my doctor. I'm like, hey, in the meantime, since we know I'm not sleeping correctly, like, can I get the ball rolling on like ordering a device so that I could start sleeping? It'd be really nice. So yes, that's my sleep study journey. I would highly recommend, like, if you suspect that you have sleep apnea, talk to your physician about it, because sleep apnea can lead to other health ailments. It's not just that you're tired all the time. It does have a physical impact. So it's pretty common, especially if, like me, you are a fluffy person. So that's my sleep study story. You've never had a sleep study. Do you snore?
I have not had a sleep study. I don't think I snore. Dana says that I do sometimes. I think it's dependent on a number of factors. I also I don't think I could have a sleep study. I would not be able to sleep with all that stuff hooked up to me. I just would not my sleep environment has to be pretty precise.
But they don't care if you get a good night's sleep. They're looking to see what your oxygen levels and your breathing is like. It's a crappy night's sleep when you go for a sleep study. Like, you go in, like, the appointment is at 9 p.m., so it's probably, like, 10-ish by the time you're all hooked up, and you have had no caffeine leading up to this and no other stimulants. And then they kick you out at around 4:30 in the morning.
Oh, really?
To go back home. Yeah, yeah. So you do not get a good night's sleep.
So you get just enough sleep, maybe, for them to take some measurements or whatever.
They don't care about how rested you are. They just need the data. So they want to know if your breathing changes. You have a pulse oximeter on you full time.
So if you're asleep at 4 a.m, they wake you up and say it's time to go.
They will wake you up, yes.
Oh, gosh. See, that sounds awful.
This is why I'm kind of upset that I have to apparently go back and do another one.
Yeah. Can you go to a different facility?
I mean, I could. I'm going to go to the one that's closest to my home instead of going downtown. So I went to a suburban one where it's like a regular hotel. Like, there are other hotel guests. Apparently, I got there on a quiet night because often they have a wedding party or some other such. And so they have to kind of like shush them.
So you said you've slept on your belly?
Usually.
Is that how you sleep?
Yeah. I told them, I said, I basically am a rotisserie and I just turn all night. But I don't think I have ever been able to fall asleep laying on my back outside of like a medical setting. And so I fell asleep on my back for the sleep study. But according to the data, like, within the first 40 minutes, I flipped over, and then the entire rest of the night I was on my stomach.
Yeah, I'm a side sleeper, specifically on my left side. And I have to think about that, like, when I get vaccines and stuff like that, like, I have to remember to not use that arm because I that I pretty much universally sleep on, like, my left side.
It's supposed to be better for your circulation, right? Because your heart is kind of on your left side.
I don't know. I've heard that sleeping on your side is not, like, I've heard the best way to sleep is on your back.
Yes.
But I cannot, like, if I fall asleep on my back, I'll just end up on my side. Like, I can't tell myself subconsciously to not sleep a certain way, right?
Well, and that's why, I was so upset with the sleep study. I'm like, if you want me in a different position, I'm asleep. Just roll me over, like, or tell me, because I'm not going to just know this in my sleep.
Are you a napper?
Yes. Anytime I can be.
See, I can't do
again,
it.
This is why sleep study was a thing, because I am the queen of naps. And it really started when I was pregnant with kiddo, and it has just ramped up over the years. So
see, I can't nap. And it's not because I don't want to. I would love to take naps. I'm so jealous of people that can, but once I'm up, I'm up.
Are you yawning? Talking about sleep. Oh, my goodness.
I know. I've been yawning a bunch too. And I wonder if it is like
it's also later in the evening than we normally record.
Yeah.
Interesting. So speaking of sleep, so the reason we had to record a little later is because it was my evening to tuck kiddo in. So Rob and I trade off. We take turns. This is a Monday night. Monday nights are my night. And so she takes, we get the children's melatonin, which is already a very low dose. And then we cut them in quarters. And so she takes one quarter of a children's melatonin. I gotta think it's psychosomatic and not actually doing a whole lot. And then snuggle a bit. And then we were watching some ASMR videos to help her fall asleep. I don't know if you ever have watched any.
You talk about the guy who restores things.
Yeah, so there's the art restoration. So tonight, so my thing is I hate mouth noises and whispering. I know some people find that very relaxing. People who genuinely have the ASMR response where their brain tingles or whatever. I don't get that. And mouth noises just squick me out. So we found a video. It started out with an extremely satisfying work. And so people who are able to do precise things, but then we watched rug cleaning. And this is a whole subgenre of relaxation ASMR videos. There's this whole subgenre of people
rug cleaning.
Cleaning or doing. Yes. So I have to think that this is like a disaster cleaner. So these rugs, you know, were in a flood or something like that. They come in just black with mud and dirt. And there are multiple channels that do roughly the same thing. It's some sort of room, garage, wherever, with a drain in the floor. And they have basically like a power washer, and they'll power wash it. And then they have these big, like a squeegee broom almost, and they'll squeegee it out. And there's no talking, and there's very little sound. Sometimes they put it to music. And, you know, they'll go through, and then after they've power cleaned it, they'll squeegee it, and then they'll put some shampoo down on it. And then they use a like rug cleaner, the circular rug cleaners on it. And then they'll power wash it again. And it, you know,
I mean,
it goes on. And it sounds boring, right?
Like I said, that's why it would put me to sleep, is because of how boring it is. It's an ASMR response.
It's very soothing and it's satisfying. Somehow my algorithm thought that I wanted to see videos of people doing like intense yard work, like, oh, it's this little old lady who hasn't mowed her lawn and the city's gonna fine her. I'm a landscaper and I'm gonna come and weed whack her sidewalk and trim all her bushes and all
that. I have seen some of those.
Yes. And those are similar. Well, like, they're just very soothing and you just fall right to sleep.
There's a whole thing about like unblocking storm drains.
Yes. I've seen those
as
well.
There's multiple channels dedicated to just people go around, find storm drains that are clogged up, unclog them, and now like this flooded area is no longer flooded.
Yeah. Like not just like on a street, but like the big ones that like are out in a wood and stuff. Yeah.
Or like our retention, like our, you know, our association has a retention basin and it gets clogged up, and every couple months the HOA president has to go out there with like a rake and a stick and So he should.
He could create a video. This is your next YouTube channel.
Videos of my neighbor unclogging the same store.
No, you got to beat him to the punch. You got to be out there.
I don't want to clean it.
But yeah, I don't know what I would call this genre of videos, but they're definitely designed for like the relaxation, and people watch them before bed and just to kind of unwind. And I don't know if I would call it like competence.
Yeah.
Videos or restoration.
And
I
get it to a degree. I think we've talked about the lockpicking lawyer. He's a very popular.
Yeah.
And I will watch a couple of his videos sometimes before a video. His voice is very soothing and they're very short.
Okay.
Like 4 or 5 minute videos.
I wonder if it's a blow to the ego to be known as like
the person who
puts you to sleep.
Or like if I actually want to sleep, if I actually want to try to take a nap, LeVar Burton has a podcast where he reads short stories that people send in.
Mm-hmm.
His voice puts me to sleep in like a minute.
So really?
I have to be in one of those states where I'm tired, but my brain won't let me sleep.
He's just enough to like tip you over.
Yeah,
the edge.
Or if I'm on an airplane and I want to take a nap, that's another one. Which is sad because I actually would like to listen to some of these short stories, but I've never made it through more than like 5 or 10 minutes of a story. Well, and not only is he talking, but they set like whoever edits his podcast has like he puts atmospheric noises that go along with whatever's going on. So if they're talking about being outdoors on a summer day, there'll be like a sound of the breeze in the background and maybe some leaves.
Oh, I hate that already. That sounds terrible.
It zonks me out. So there's a pro tip for people who are trying to get some sleep. Do you have like a sleep routine?
I have a sleep routine. The short answer. As a married person, I'm usually the one that goes to bed before Rob by a fair chunk. And this is good because if he goes to bed early, I cannot fall asleep next to him, which makes me sad. So I will typically, a little bit of light doesn't bother me. So I'll leave a light on for him to come to bed. And then I try to have an audiobook that I'm listening to. And what I'll do is I'll create a bookmark, and then there's a timer. So I'll set like a 15-minute timer. And usually I am asleep before I hit that 15 minutes. If I don't have an audiobook or music to sleep to, I will be up for hours trying to fall asleep, laying in bed.
So you fall asleep listening to something.
I kind of almost need to.
Do you have to keep it on all night, or is it just while you're...
Okay. Just to fall asleep.
Because I know there are people who have to have a TV on or something like that too.
So we have a fan.
Whereas I
in
could
our room.
Not. I could. Yeah. I would not be able to fall asleep with the TV on because my brain's going to be listening to what's going on the TV.
That's what I need. I need my brain to have just a little bit of something to latch on to for my body to fall asleep. Because if I don't, my brain just keeps going and going and going and going and going.
I think you're about to say you have a fan, and we do. Like I do the same thing. Yeah. I have a fan, right? Not only the noise, but just a little bit of air movement over me. To the point we even have, like, when we travel, we have a little portable fan that we take with us.
We have, so I want it for the air movement. Rob wants it for the noise. So it's perfect. It sits right in front of our register. And so our bedroom is like the upstairs attic of our house, basically. So there's not a ton of registers. So we sit it right in front of the hot air register. That way it can blow the hot air up over the bed.
Help circulate around. Yeah.
Yeah.
I find like the sleeping habits of like couples specifically interesting. Cause like I know people who like they don't even sleep in the same room, like married couples, you know?
Yeah. Separate bedrooms.
Yeah. Or so like you said, you go to bed before Rob. I go to bed before Dana, but she still has to come to bed at like about the same time because I'm asleep. And then when she comes upstairs, if I'm asleep, like she wakes me up. And like I said, once I'm up, I'm up. So if I go to sleep and I'm woken up, it will take me hours to get back to sleep. So our routine has kind of been developed over. And then if she doesn't come upstairs, sometime around when I do, she falls asleep on the couch and sleeps there all night. And then she's all sore the next day from like sleeping on the couch. So I don't think she loves coming to bed when I do, or us being kind of tied together somewhat in our like sleep schedule like that. But I think it's what works. Mutual, it's a mutual
not
beneficial.
Wake you up when she comes to bed. Like, what is she doing? Flipping on all the lights? Or
oh, no, it's just I am a freight train could come crashing into our bedroom, and then an airliner could crash into that freight train as it was crashing into our room. And Dana would sleep right through it. Whereas for me, a mosquito could fart downstairs and it would wake me up. I am not a sound sleeper. There's just something, I'm in hyper tuned to noises. And that's the other reason I need the fan, is just to drown out, you know, the creaking of the roof or whatever as the wind blows and things like that. Like, cause that stuff wakes me up. So yeah, just the process of her entering the room wakes me up, you know, like if she tries to be quiet, like if she tiptoes, it's even worse because that actually makes more like disparate sounds. And so my brain's like, somebody's in here. You got to get up and see what's
intruder.
What's going on.
Oh, no. Right.
Yep. So it's just best if she comes up before I fall asleep. It's a whole thing.
Now, are we in agreement that the best way to sleep is to have like the room is kind of cold, like at the cold end of comfortable, and then lots of blankets, but like your face is sticking out, so your face is still cold?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Because I get hot. And that's another thing between Dana and I is like, we have to have a space heater this time of year because like when it gets cold out, we have to run it.
Yeah.
And so like we've gone back and forth on what to set that to.
So I think I've mentioned to you one of the best things ever Rob got for me for Christmas quite a while ago now. It's a heated mattress pad and it's two-sided. So like I can have my side turned on and his side is, he just doesn't even plug his in, honestly.
Yeah.
Because I like being warm. And then in the winter, I like getting into warm covers, and he will have very vivid, almost nightmare dreams when he is too warm.
We got one because of your recommendation.
Yeah.
Years ago. And then it broke. And I called the company and they said they're going to send another one, and they didn't. And so then I got another one and we just, I think, didn't put it on last year. But no,
power cycle it. Like I have to plug it in and unplug it pretty much daily to get my side to work correctly.
No, this one just, I tried everything. I even took the controller apart to see if there was a fuse inside
or
something.
Of course you did.
That blew. But yeah, when we had that heated mattress pad, Dana would turn it all the way up basically. And then I like to be warm when I go to bed, but then cool off as I fall asleep. Mm-hmm. So I would turn mine on and then basically turn it off when I go to bed.
So, okay.
But yeah,
coast down.
Yeah. But yeah, that was a good tip. I definitely like the heated pad more than a heated blanket. Like the heat from below is definitely the...
Well, especially if you're a stomach sleeper like me, I don't know, it feels very like lizardy. Like I'm on a hot rock or something like that. Like if I have the heated mattress pad and then I put my belly on it. Oh, it's great.
I'm picturing you like in turtle mode, like flopping around on your mattress. Yeah,
it's such a shame that no one can see us gesticulating with our hands here.
We could do a video podcast, but I don't want people to.
I don't want to.
maybe we'll have a Patreon and subscribers can see
the horror.
The horror. Yeah. My routine is I usually go upstairs and I'd say within a half an hour to an hour of me going upstairs, I'm asleep.
See, that's raw, but I can literally lay in bed for hours.
Yeah.
Trying to fall asleep.
And that's Dana. She takes hours. Yeah. She's got a much longer like bed to sleep, whatever, than I do. I have been taking melatonin though. I think that does help kind of regulate how quickly I fall asleep.
Yeah.
And I do watch YouTube videos before bed. And that just kind of, that's my, I don't think it's the videos themselves or the ASMR thing. I think it's just having a routine, you know, like, and something to focus on that's not everything else. It doesn't have to be any specific, like I don't have to watch cleaning drains or power washing rugs or whatever. It could be,
it was so funny. I was, you know, laying there with kiddo, tucking her in, and we finished one video. And then like I went over to the cleaning rugs and she goes, yeah, that's the stuff. and her little 9-year-old voice. It was amazing.
Like she's
amazing.
She's riding a high.
Right. Exactly.
gosh, sleep topics. How do you sleep? Do you sleep well when you travel?
Not really. Like not super worse. I guess it really depends on the mattress. So I cannot handle like a really, really firm mattress because my body is not straight in like any dimension that you look at it. And so like if I'm sleeping on my side and the mattress is too firm, then my hips kind of like jut out and, you know, my spine's out of whack. So I find that most hotels, the bed is too hard and they don't give you enough blankets. You like a sheet and a comforter and that's it. And I need at least one more blanket to be really snuggly.
And I think I have yet to see a good hotel pillow. Like they all seem like as soon as you put your head on them, they just turn into like a flat piece of paper. It just doesn't seem to matter where I go. We actually, so in addition to traveling with a fan, we sometimes travel with our own pillows. Like we just bring our own pillows with us.
So we have, I'm looking over because I'm upstairs in my bedroom in my little alcove. I think we have 5 pillows on our bed right now. And that sounds like a lot, but 3 of those 5 are really old down pillows that are almost pancakes. And we love them. Like you could just like mold them into the exact shape that you want. Rob is also like a belly sleeper, side sleeper. He doesn't sleep on his back. And so you can kind of get it like just like to fit the crook of your arm perfectly. Realistically, I should buy new pillows, but we just keep getting new ones. And then like the old ones we could not bear to part with. So
now this is sleep adjacent. But we, okay. You know, whatever.
Sure.
We never see that topic here.
It's our podcast.
I don't get when you try, like you stay with someone and they have 37 decorative pillows on the bed.
Because it's a pillowscape.
A what?
It's a pillowscape. It's what it's called.
I didn't know how to name.
Or a bedscape. I've heard it called a bedscape as well.
It's an I don't like it's, it scape. I don't want to have you, to do a if project. You look the,
if you look at that word on Pinterest, I guarantee you will find lots of photos.
Because like the pillows go right on the ground and they stay on the ground for the entire time we're there.
Yeah. It would probably be nice to have some sort of like basket to put them all in or something. But
well, then I have to pile them all up in the corner. And now where am I going to put my luggage? Because that's where I was going to put my luggage.
Yeah.
If you are out there and you have a guest room and it has 37 pillows on them that are mostly decorative, please take them off.
So, okay. So pillows, no decorative pillows. But when you are traveling and staying with friends or family, what are the things that you appreciate as a guest staying in someone's guest room?
Oh, that's like, a really good question.
Besides the Wi-Fi. Obviously.
Yeah. I think. Well, like a good mattress is nice. And I say that in a situation where like our guest room mattress is always whatever mattress we aren't using anymore, right? So when we get a new mattress for the main bedroom, that mattress goes to the guest room. So this is not even something.
Through.
Yeah, this is not something I practice. But yeah, a nice, decent mattress and like outlets, you know, some place to plug my stuff into. Although I travel like with a battery pack so that I can charge my phone if I can't find. That's another travel pro tip. Don't assume there's going to be an outlet. Just bring a battery pack with you. And
you can't take that through airport security, though, can you?
Yeah, you can. Yep, up to 95 watt hours, I think. So
okay.
Yeah.
Disney won't let you take them into the park. I remember that. I stayed. So it's my mother-in-law's like vacation place. So she gets a lot of guests. And she has a little luggage rack. And it's actually super handy that my suitcase isn't like laying on the floor. Like it feels so old-timey.
No, when
but
we
it's super useful.
It's funny you mention that. So when we used to have an Airbnb, I thought to myself, what are some things that irritate me when I stay at other Airbnbs? And Dana and I had the same conversation. for me, it was the charging thing, right? Like, so I made sure that both nightstands in the bedroom had like an outlet and USB port kind of thing, like you'd see in some hotels.
Yeah.
And Dana said, we need to have a luggage rack. And so we had a luggage rack right in its own little dedicated corner for just that purpose. And when we sold the place, we sold it furnished. We kept a couple things. And one of the things we kept was the luggage rack.
The luggage rack. Okay. Yeah.
So, no, that's a good one. That's a very good one. When we stay places, it's always like, what do you do with your luggage? You can't put it in the corner because that's where you put your 37 pillowscapes or whatever.
the little things, like, I feel like it's easier to sleep in a strange place if you feel like it's orderly. You know, I don't travel a ton, but yeah.
I gave up a long time ago on sleeping in an orderly space because
you're married to Dana.
Because I'm married to Dana, yeah.
Yeah, Rob's married to me, so.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess if I had some sort of curtain over this area where I'm sitting right now, which is where all my craft stuff is, like my laptop is up against my sewing machine right now, then our room would look much neater, but alas.
You've got me really thinking now about like what things I appreciate. Okay, so if you're staying in a hotel, what are some nice sleeping amenities that, like, same question, I guess, but instead of like a friend's house?
Well, I think it's pretty standard at a hotel, but like the blackout curtains, it's usually, you know, the view is a parking lot, or if you're staying in a big city, the view is traffic. And so like a really good heavy blackout curtain, but I think that's standard, but I do appreciate that it's there. I don't know. I feel like a lot of the stuff that I like about a hotel isn't necessarily sleep related. You know, the good pillows, you mentioned outlets at the bedstands. I appreciate having somewhere, and usually what we'll do is we'll leave the bathroom light on or something like that, like a night light almost, like a little bit of dim, because it's an unfamiliar place. And I am going to trip over Rob's suitcase and sprawl out on the floor.
I have
or trip
seen,
over kiddos stuffies or whatever.
I have seen some hotels, usually like slightly nicer hotels, where there's like a dedicated switch for like a nightlight mode.
Nice.
So that is nice. Yeah.
I seldom sleep completely all the way through the night. At this stage in my life, I usually get up at least once to go use the restroom and then come back. And at home it's no big deal because I know where everything is, but yeah.
I need dark. I need things to be very, very dark.
Now, have you ever tried sleeping with a sleep mask?
No. Dana does, or she does sometimes.
Oh,
and she's offered
okay.
for me to like try it before. I'm such a picky sleeper that like I don't think I could sleep with things on my face. Like I really am.
I really am
very weird about how I sleep.
Do you think that you would feel a pee if it was under your mattress?
Would I feel what?
A pee. like the princess and the pee?
I thought if I wet the bed, would I feel it? That's what I thought you were saying. I'm like, yes, I'm pretty sure I would. Why are you calling it a pee, Carla? It's just pee. I was so confused there.
See, you were just like, you weren't getting him. Like, he's heard of fairy tales, right? Like this isn't an obscure one. There's an entire musical around this one.
It also sounds like one of those things would be some sort of a weird British saying that I don't know
about peeing the bed.
Oh, how do you feel? How do you feel to pee?
I don't know what that accent was. Was that Irish?
Sure, it's whatever you want it to be. Anyway,
you're a delicate flower.
I'm a delicate flower when it comes to sleep. Yeah.
And a pretty, pretty princess.
Gosh, this is a really fascinating topic. I just don't know really where to go with it.
Oh, sleep?
Yeah.
Well, where, so have you ever like fallen asleep driving or anything like that? Fallen asleep?
Yeah. I have more or less banned myself from driving late at night because I do that like nod, the
micro
head nod, the head nod thing, and it scares the bejesus out of me. So I just don't, I won't do it anymore. You know what? Just get a hotel. You know, that's one of those things that kind of with growing up that I've done. Now my car drives itself now, so that doesn't make me feel any safer, but like the car monitors your like alertness to a degree. So I try not to sleep. I try not to sleep while driving. I try not to drive when I should be sleeping. My question for you, I just thought of, is where is the strangest place you've ever slept?
The strangest place I've ever slept.
Yes.
I mean, I used to do this thing where I lived in Chicago and I would come back to Cleveland and visit. I didn't want to drive back and hit rush hour, and I wanted to maximize my visit. So I would wait until like 10 o'clock at night to leave Cleveland, and it's a 6-hour drive. And I basically drive until I started doing that head nod thing. And I would pull into one of the service plazas and sleep in my car until I got cold. And then I would wake up and drive as far as like the next 2 or 3 service plazas down. I was getting sleepy and I would pull over and sleep. And I would kind of like hopscotch my way across Ohio, Indiana, and into Illinois over the course of a night, and then usually make it into work by 9 o'clock in the morning is when I had to be there. So that was a weird place. I mean, I don't know what it, weird place. Like, I've fallen asleep on couches at houses that I didn't know who lived there. I don't think I've fallen asleep in any weird spots. What are you thinking? Like in a closet under the stairs or something like.
Well, no, just like I was at this place and I fell asleep in, you know, this whatever.
Oh, I used to fall asleep all the time at like a friend's poker party. Yeah. Down.
Yeah.
Bored.
I've never had to sleep in an airport, but I've come close a couple times. I don't know if I would be able to or not.
Napped at an airport. I've napped on planes. I mean, like basically, once I'm tired, there's nothing you can do to stop me from falling asleep.
Well, I'm kind of out
I'm
of
tired.
We have both been yawning like crazy. I wonder how much of it is that it's like 10 o'clock and how much of it is.
We're talking about sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your bedtime?
Like 10 o'clock. Yeah. Unfortunately. Yeah. I aim for that because I usually try to get up at 6 and I don't sleep well. So I've got to be asleep for a longer period to get an even moderate amount of sleep just because I don't sleep very well. I'm looking forward to getting a CPAP. I mean, it's profoundly unsexy and I don't care. I'm so tired all the time.
And
so.
How much sleep do you normally get?
Like I said, like I will be in bed.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember the data from the sleep study, which was really fascinating. But like the amount of deep sleep I got not very much. I used to have a Fitbit, mostly because I was curious about my sleep data. And this was, again, this is years ago. This is pre-pandemic. And I think it estimated I got like somewhere between 30 and 45 minutes of deep sleep a night, which is not enough. Spoiler alert. So, yeah, I aim for 8 hours, but are those 8 hours actually sleep?
Yeah.
No.
I usually crawl into bed around 11:30 or midnight, usually asleep within a half an hour to an hour after that. And then I usually get up around 7:30, I would say. So I probably average between like 6 and 7 hours a night. I never get a full 8. And it doesn't seem to matter if I go to bed at 10 p.m. or 2 a.m. I'm up at like 7:30. Mm. Like my biological clock is just tuned for that time. So if I want any amount of sleep, I kind of have to like go to bed at a semi-reasonable hour.
Yeah.
And all of this talk of sleep is kind of... It's kind of got me there. Like
you see me, my jaw cracking yawns.
We have both been yawning like crazy this whole time. So
yes.
Well, shall we wrap this up and go to sleep, Carla?
Yes. Yes.
All right. Well, thank you, Carla, for staying awake past your bedtime to record with me this evening.
Yeah.
I have been Matt.
And I have been Carla.
And we'll talk to you soon. Hello, friends. I'm way overdue for an epilogue, so here we go. We'd love to hear from you. What's your bedtime routine? Where's the weirdest place you've slept? How do you feel about decorative pillows? Give us a call at 216-505-0180 or find us on Facebook. Just search Perpetually Untitled or click the link in the show notes. We hope you enjoyed this episode and it didn't put you to sleep. As always, thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again in 2 short weeks.